Okay, God gave me something late today. I told you I couldn't resist. And it's typed into next week's message, so I won't bring it next week. I just got to say it right now because it was so cool. I come running in the living room telling Harvey, God is just like women. Because he wants the same thing. He's got the same heart that we women do. He does not want, in repentance, he doesn't want you to just say, I'm sorry. And he goes, well, I need a little more than that. And you go, I'm really sorry. Try that on your wife, guys. Did it ever work?
No.
And you wonder why. And you go and you tell her, I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I did that. And she goes, and you go, what more do you want from me? Well, then she's going to tell you what more she wants from you, right? And what is it she wants from you? She wants you to understand where it came from, what you did that hurt her. She wants you to understand what was in your heart, what you made her feel, what inside of you needs to change so you won't do it again. She wants to fix it. She wants to fix it because it's something that's not good between the two of you, and it's happened before, and it happens again and again and again. And she doesn't just want another, I'm sorry, you're hurt. She wants a change in you to stop doing it. Change in your heart so you stop doing it. That's just like God with repentance. He doesn't want you to just say, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry I did something you don't like, God. He says, no, that's not repentance. And accept your apology, and I forgive you. But we're not okay yet. I want to take you into the depth of your heart until you understand why you did what you did. And you don't ever want to do it again. Because you see it as I do. That's repentance.
Right.
So God's just like women in that. But the women, now you still messed up. We got to go a step further. Because only God can do that, see. Arguing and nagging can't change your husband's heart. So though we want what God wants, we can't do what God can do. We can't grant repentance. And there's the difference in us and God. Even for ourselves, we can want to change, and we don't. Only God can change a heart. Only God can grant true and deep repentance. So I just really like that. You know, husbands, understand that when she starts it. You're right to say, okay, I am sorry that it hurt you. I probably don't get the depth of it to fix it. Would you just pray for me? Because only God can change me. Because none of us like arguing and nagging either. So in that, the guys win. The word repentance seems to strike fear in people. We hear that and we go, oh, no, not repentance, because we relate it to giving up something we like or something we're addicted to and we can't give up. It sounds like a hard, difficult thing. But when you add the word toward, repentance becomes a good thing, becomes a very good thing. And that's our point tonight, today. Repentance is a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Right.
Repentance toward changes everything. That changes everything about that word. It's a miracle of God to change somebody, but we have to want to be changed.
Amen.
We have to move toward God. And then when we do, he begins the process of leading us through that struggle into the freedom from something.
Amen.
I love the word grace. I'm always defining it because it's the divine influence of God himself in my life and the way that he can be seen through my life to other people. It is the power and presence of God coming inside of me and then speaking out through me or touching through me to someone else. I crave that. I crave it. I want when I touch somebody for God to touch them. I wish I could get to where Paul was when he could stand up and say, I'm not coming to you in any kind of man's wisdom. I'm coming to you in power and demonstration of the Spirit. That should be our desire.
Amen.
That God is seen. Change me so they only see you, you know. Philippians 2:13 talks about grace, and it says, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God starts it by giving you the will. See, when we repent toward him, then he grants us the second part of repentance. He gives us the will to want to change.
Right.
And the power to change. That comes on his part. So repentance means to turn toward God, making him and all that he is and everything that he's about the desire of our life.
Amen.
It's at the very heart of even getting saved. Acts 20, 20 through 21. And now I kept, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, not only in church, privately in our relationship, testifying both to Jews and Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God has to happen before anybody can get saved.
Right.
If you skip past repentance when you're speaking to somebody, then you're not doing what Paul said. I'm keeping back nothing that's profitable to you. It's like you pre-preached me this morning with what you said, you know? How are you helping them if you're leaving them in deception and entrapped in something that's hiding the real them? They can't get free. You're not helping them. You're hurting them. You know, I used to have young mothers come to me and say, but I'm really a bad mom. What did you do? Well, I slapped my daughter in the face because I lost my temper with her. I'm such a bad mom. And I would hear other counselors go, no, you're not. Yes, you were just behaving like a bad mom. That's truth. And you're trying to confess it, and I should help you do that. I should help you realize what you did is being a bad mom, and that's not what you want to be. That's not the real you. So let's ask God to grant you repentance of that anger. Ask him to begin the struggle of repentance until you're free from that anger, because that is not you.
Amen.
You didn't do that mom any favor to say, oh, we all just lose our temper, it's okay. No. Don't pet people in their sin.
Amen.
God, we need to relate to God in a lifestyle after we accept Christ of repentance every day. It's a continued, as we received him, we walk in him. We're repenting every time we approach a holy God. There's something we are repenting of. Maybe I just bit somebody's head off on the phone, a salesman at the door. Maybe I just kicked my cat. The minute I turn toward God, I need to be repenting of whatever is blocking me from entering
Amen.
His holiness now. He wants us to come in,
right.
But it takes repentance.
Right.
It clears the path. The gospel of salvation is good news. It's not bad news. It's not like this list of things that people have said, oh, if you want to start being a Christian, you got to stop this, stop that, stop, stop, stop. Do different. Somebody told me once, you're not really giving your life to God at all until you've made him total Lord of your life and you're willing to be a missionary to Africa or you're willing to, and they went through the list of things I had to be willing to do, and I'm like, hey, you lost me on number one. I'm not going to Africa. And he didn't call me to go to Africa, but you need to find out if you would if he did. Well, if he did, I'd find out if I would, but he didn't. So I don't have to find that out. Actually, I did find it out, and I didn't like it, but I did kind of find it out because God came to me about several months ago, maybe it was a year. I still have that paper, and he said, we're going to get a sending word. And I went, uh-oh, where am I going? And he said, where do you think? You're going to go where you don't want to go. And I went, oh, no. And he said, where don't you want to go? Well, I don't want to go to Africa, and I don't want to go on a cruise. So that's probably what you mean. And he went, yes to both, but what I'm talking about now, you're going to go in your car. Well, that was just going to Ionia, and I already finished that task pretty much. But I couldn't forget. I mean, I tried to forget, but I wrote it down, so I read it the other day. Yes to both. Oh, uh-oh. Those are still hanging out there. They're still hanging out there. And I have discovered as soon as he says go, I will. Because I trust that there's always grace. But when our focus is only on what everybody needs to turn away from, we're not leading them to God. Nobody wants to turn away from anything until they have something they want to turn toward. See, the word toward has an opposite, which is from, but toward comes first. Repentance toward God will result in from some things. There will be a lot more from things that will continue in your life if your towards are right, when your heart is toward. But toward has to be first. toward always has to be first. So the kingdom of God, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. What did that mean? How can someone turn toward God if they don't even know what it means? They don't know who he is. You know, the word says, how can they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear about him except through preaching? And faith comes through the word. So they have to hear the word of God. They have to hear the preaching of God. They have to know something to know what they're turning toward. And Jesus said, here's a good thing for you to turn toward, the kingdom of God. So I ask you a question. What do you think the kingdom of God is? We're all like Christians. So if you were going to tell somebody, repent because the kingdom of God is near, and they say, well, what does that mean? What is his kingdom? What would your answer be? How would you describe the kingdom of God? Was the first thing that comes to your mind heaven? Did you immediately think, well, it's heaven? What do I know about heaven? What have I learned about heaven? Heaven is a great place, you know, but that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about God himself, because he's the king, and wherever he goes, he's surrounded with the glory of his own self, his own ways, his own goodness, his own purity, his mercy, his love. Everything that he is creates the kingdom of him. So he was saying, I'm here, and I am the kingdom, and I want you to come in to me. I want to come in to you. But we have a problem. In order to enter in, we have to come out. If I'm on my way toward heaven, I'm leaving something else. And what I'm leaving is sin. What I'm leaving is sin. Because he's a holy God, and sin cannot come into the presence of God. We can't come in with our sin unless we're on our knees confessing it. So Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If his kingdom is his very glory, then we came short of getting into that kingdom because of sin. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Harvey loved to talk about lying babies, but this verse confirms it. The Lord doesn't present his kingdom to prove we don't fit in it, but to show us how to get into it. It's never condemnation with God. Romans 2:4 says, do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? I think about people when we're dealing with the lost, and they're in the struggle, and they get so miserable. It's a struggle, and they're so miserable. They're going, I'm seeing what you're saying about God, and I want him. Let's get saved right now. Well, you're not ready. I'm telling you, I'm repenting toward God, not God. We're going, well, let's deal about your sin. What sin? You can't come out of it if you don't see it. Well, how about this sin? God will point something out. Well, that's not my fault. That's somebody else's fault. That's not repentance. Well, I already quit doing that. We're not talking about what you're doing. We're talking about what was in your heart, what you are, the sins of your heart. So it takes a while. It takes some leading of God for that forbearing, that long-suffering, that preparing somebody to enter into his kingdom. Our part's easy. It's not simple. It's easy, and there's a difference. It's very easy to simply want and agree with God. I want your kingdom. Well, what about this sin? I don't want it. Well, stop doing it. I can't. That's okay. As long as you want to stop doing it, you want to, God's going to deliver you from it. He's going to give you that. See, the hard part's on him. And it's not easy to go through a struggle of repentance. It's not easy, but it is simple. It is simple. We choose it and we want it, and God will take us through it. Right. He will lead us through right. The process. And I know most of us in here, I mean, I'm assuming all of us in here are already saved. You've already some experience with this. But Jesus spoke about words that were hard to hear sometimes. He spoke to particular issues in a person. And yet the issues weren't really the issue. They were the symptom of a deeper disease. And he wanted to go after a cure, not a Band-Aid, not just a quick fix. Right. You know, John 3:17 says, God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We just need to come saying, God, search me. Search me and create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. So Jesus came. And in Matthew 4:17 is kind of a theme verse here for a while, that from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, he's not talking about heaven. He didn't say, there is heaven way up yonder and someday you're going to go. He said, it's at hand. It's right here. He is the kingdom of heaven. He is. And he was saying, I am here right now. And you can't do this. I have to do it for you. So if you want it, I'll begin to do it in you. He must be present. I like to write stories. So I thought of this little, I pictured this little witnesses from the glowing kingdom. And they leave the glowing kingdom where they've been with the king and they've been wrapped up in love and everything is beautiful and perfect. And they go out down the path and they say, hey, do you see the kingdom glowing? They go, I think I see a little light. And they start telling them about that kingdom. You want to go? You want to go? And the people begin to go that direction. But all of a sudden on that path, they find out something you have is not allowed in the kingdom. Leave it here. And now they got something to think about. Am I going to go further? Or am I done and I'm going back because I'm not leaving this here? Sometimes we're just holding on to something. And if it's not about issues, then why is it that an issue could stop us on the path? It's about where the issue came from. It's about why we have that issue. But that kingdom is the very presence of God. And it is glowing. It's glowing through us. And we need to be telling people about it. So I envisioned the first seeker on the path as someone who had a lot of money, a lot of treasures and possessions. And all of a sudden they were told, you won't need that money because in the kingdom, he'd probably tell you to give a lot of it away anyway. Give away some things, give away some money, be charitable and share it with people that need it. And then this traveler maybe would say, I don't know about that. You know, give away my money. Well, then there's another kingdom seeker. Maybe his issue is that he's popular. Lots of friends. He's very, very popular. Do you know it's so much easier for God to find sinners who are lonely and desperate? Because they know they need. Sometimes somebody who's famous, popular, lots of friends, and they find out, if I start acting different, if I start standing and acting like a Christian, they won't like me anymore. And that may be a turning away point for them. Is it because they have a lot of friends? No. It's because of something inside their heart that turns them away. I gave my heart. I'm so glad I got saved at home. I am really glad for that because nobody corrupted my faith. I got a simple gospel message. I accepted Christ at home. I wanted to do everything I read in the Bible. And you know what I didn't read there? I didn't read those rules they gave me when I went to church 2 weeks later. And they started pouring these rules on me as though, well, now that you're a Christian, you're in God's kingdom, here's the rules of the kingdom. You can't go to movies. You can't, women don't wear pants. Women can't this, women can't that. You can't preach. I went, whoa, I got saved 2 weeks ago and I got called to preach. No, no, women don't do that. You can't preach. I lived under that for many years. And I tried to live under that. I submitted. I got rid of my pants and I only wore dresses and I didn't go to any more movies. We can't dance. Oh man, I love dancing. Oh no, you can't do that. Okay. No more dancing. So I tried to do everything they told me to do until they said quit smoking and I just couldn't do that one. So according to them, I got kicked out of my ministry to the deaf and I was no longer allowed to minister to the people that God had put in my heart. In any way, because I smoked. So I got mad at God and I left. 2 years later, I came back and I still hated the word repent because I couldn't make myself repent. And then when I came back, I began reading the word, Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves has fulfilled the law. What? All I have to do is love people and I fulfill the law. That sounds pretty simple, except for the fact I didn't love people. I didn't like anybody at that point in my life. Now, here's how it fulfills the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not kill. You should not steal. You shouldn't lie, bear false witness. You shouldn't covet, want to take what somebody else owns. And if there's any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this, namely, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Because love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Wow. It's not about any of those things I do. It's about love. And I couldn't even do that. I couldn't love my neighbor, and I didn't love myself. So I still had something I couldn't repent of. But I wanted to. That's what changed toward God. I now wanted what he wanted me to want. I didn't want to give up dancing, and I didn't want to give up movies, but I did want to learn to love. Because, see, really, we do want to love and be loved. That's what we all crave. So when he tells you what he does want, even if he told you going to Africa, it's because he already put a desire in you for Africa, and you're just afraid of it. When you do it, you'll love it. When he called me in the death work, I hated the idea. I just learned it for fun to hang out with my friend. But I fell in love with it after I gave in to do it. What you're called to do, he created you to do, you'll love it when you do it. So that's when it comes to God's part of the repentance. If you are toward the thing he's asking, he comes and does that inside of you as you cooperate. Now think of my little glowing kingdom story again. That first traveler, when he heard he had to give away his money, this wasn't about money. It was testing his heart and exposing a couple of things. Number one, greed. Greed's not allowed in God's kingdom. It was exposing that he had greed. God was trying to bring him into seeing his sin. Because if you said to him, it's wrong for you to be rich, he would have had a million arguments about why it's not wrong for him to be rich. But if God said, in your heart, you're a greedy, selfish person, ow, that one hurts. How do I change my heart? You don't. God will if you want him to.
Amen.
Maybe it wasn't even about just greed, sharing that money, but maybe it was insecurity. If I don't have the money, how will I survive? How will I? Yesterday, Harvey, my sweet husband, all these years, has had a $300,000 life insurance policy to be sure I'm taken care of when he dies. Problem is, he was so young when he took it out, he didn't know what he was doing, and he took out a term policy instead of whole life. That means when you reach a certain age, it's not any good anymore. Like, in other words, when you would die and you get to that age, now you have nothing. So he only has 6 more years to die, or there's no policy. So then it's like, now what am I going to do if I don't die in the next 6 years? How am I gonna take care of my wife and leave her enough so that she's not struggling and she's too old to go to work by then, you know? So he's been researching how to go and buy whole life insurance at his age. Well, the cheapest he could find, which was minimal, was $350 a month. And
no, that was term.
Well, that was term. It was whole life was $811 a month. And I'm like, you know what? When I was younger, I might would have wanted to keep living on my own and have enough money to do it. But if you don't die in the next 6 years, it means anything after that, I'm already 75. I'm not going to live by myself at 75. Anyway, kids are going to have to take care of me. So I don't need $300,000. But instead of putting away $1,000 nearly every month for something, why don't we just pay off our house with extra payments. And then if you die and the house is paid off, I can just sell it and cash in on the money. And if you don't die, we get to live cheaper payments. So just keep living and it benefits both of us. But he was so worried. He was so concerned that he was going to do the right thing and provide for me. That is insecurity in a form. I mean, insecurity for me, making sure I'm secure and taken care of. But you know what? It's like trading in a handful of dust for a pocket full of gold when God becomes your security. He's never going to fail us. He's going to take care of us. He can do anything. And Harvey and I have lived out there with no money, and food showed up. We went with no money and still got a home. We've already lived on the edge of nothing, and God gave us whatever we needed. So we know he can provide for us. So when we come and give our life to God, this man, it was not about the money. There are people. Harvey and I are very comfortable with money right now. But there are people who are extremely wealthy, and they're living in God's kingdom. They're living in his fellowship. But what the scripture says to them is 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. First of all, just take that verse. There are some who are rich. He didn't say go tell them to give away their money. He said tell them, don't be proud about it, and be willing to give it whenever I tell you to give it. And to be sure that they don't trust in it, because it could be blown away tomorrow, but their trust and their security must be in the living God, who gives them all things to enjoy. And this is what God said to me once. If I give it to you, enjoy it. If I take it away, let it go. God doesn't care if you have money. He cares if money has you. Tell them that they be good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate. Now, you can be ready to distribute as long as you keep your door locked and never hear anybody needs anything. But you also be ready to communicate with people who are in need, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So there isn't a problem with our rich man being rich. God was exposing the condition of his heart. And that's what he still wants to do. After we're saved, right now, in our life, expose the condition of our hearts.
Right.
In a way that he can find the real us and set us free. My second traveler, with all this popularity and all of his friends around him. You know, people that are like that usually it's an insecurity. It's usually that they're hungering for acceptance. They're hungering to be validated by their friends. But when we give our life to God, he begins showing us our real purpose and who we are, and we don't need anyone else to validate us. God validates our value, our worth to him. His love is so powerful and instills a new confidence in ourselves, in a boldness, in a purpose. So repentance is never to take things away from us, but he may expose our heart through the things that he points out. So, final thoughts, recap. Repentance is meant to be toward God. And I love the word toward, because all our focus is just on wanting him. And it will give us back our lost, our purity. It gives us forgiveness and mercy. It gives us new purpose in life and hope. All the love and acceptance we need. It promises us everything that we were created for will be fulfilled when we enter that place with him. When we repent toward God, we can see what a good thing it is. It's not a scary word. It's a good word. It's right for us. And in this time right now, I really believe that God is leading us to a deeper level, because he's requiring us to become more free so he can get freer through us.
Right.
He's taking us to a deeper level. We kind of kicked that off Wednesday night in a very shallow way. This week won't be as shallow. Wednesday night, we're going to deal with... On Sunday, what I want to do is give you the the depth of the understanding of what it means so that you can deal with other people and that God can also deal with you. But on Wednesday night, we want to go deeper, deeper, deeper to give God more. And I believe that he triggered me this week that we're going to talk about our thought life on Wednesday night. Now, he could change that. I mean, I got like 15 messages laying there, but I think that's the one for Wednesday, that we're going to start actually dealing with our thoughts, because one thought can change everything. You can be in the depths of despair. Janiyah confessed that she's in this giving up despair. I am too. And I have to struggle with that every day, and I don't even know why. I don't even know why, except it's attacks of the devil. Let me ask you, any of you struggled last week with despair, depression, wanting to give up? All right, put your hands up. Be real. Bad thoughts. Even that's discouraging, though. It's discouraging. The devil is trying to discourage us right now. He's trying to stop us. He knows this is a powerful thing to go into deeper repentance. It changes your life. And one thought can change your whole day. Because your thoughts are what discouraged you in the first place. Your thoughts are dragging you down. And that's been my battle every day, is that I will get up and I'll think, I don't feel like caring. And I'll go, and that's not a thought that comes from God. So I'm kicking that thought out right now. And whatever I don't want to care about, I'm going to double care about it. I'm going to come in the opposite thought. If I have a thought, I am just weary. I'm just giving up. And my knees hurt. I can't even hardly walk across the room right now because my knees hurt. You know what? I'm going to get up and say, you know what, devil? I don't care if I have to drag that leg across the room and go get a wheelchair. I am not going to stay in my seat and give up. Amen. Not because I feel that brave and bold, because I'm learning to argue with the thoughts of the devil. Amen. I'm learning to reject the thoughts of the devil. I'm learning to tell him, no, that thought's not going to live in my head. Now, I'm not running around in the house supercharged all day going, woohoo, I win. I'm all full of energy. I'm battling with him all day long. But I am going to win. Because I'm repenting toward God. I'm saying, woo, that's a bad thought, and I let that in my head. God, I'm sorry I let that in my head. I want your thought in my head. Amen. We've got a study on the mind of Christ. You know, the word says that we have the mind of Christ. And you do. It's inside of you, like you're a computer. And you've downloaded the mind of Christ into your system. All you have to do is tap the right buttons and go find it. But you know what? Sometimes we tell him we want to know his mind, but we don't pray the right prayer. We don't pray to know exactly what's in his mind. We want to know what's on his mind about what's on my mind. I go in there with my mind full of what I want to know, and then I want to know what he thinks about that. It reminds me of that Beaches movie when I say stuff like that, where she talks and talks and talks about herself, and then she says to her friend, okay, that's enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? And that's kind of sometimes we go to God and we say, oh, this is what's on my mind. God, I've got this problem, this problem, this problem, this desire, this want, this, this. Now, what do you think about all that? What does he think? And maybe it's not about any of that. Maybe he wants you to put that aside and just say, okay, I'm done now. I gave you all my thoughts. If you want to talk about it, fine. But clear the path. What's really on your mind? And you know, I did that this morning. I had the message ready. I'm all done. And I go lay in my bed. And I go, I have nothing left to think about. Just listen to you. And he fills me with a few more thoughts. And I run out and put them on the paper. And I go, okay, got that. Now, I just want to be with you. Just be with you. Whatever's on your mind or your heart. And then he gives me that thing about, did you know that I'm just like women? What? That is so cool. I can't wait to tell the men. Oh, until he said, don't nag. Don't argue. Don't push the point. Just let me do it. Prayer is powerful. It works better than nagging. I nag in prayer because God doesn't mind being nagged. He likes it. He likes us to not give up. We need to want. Do you know repentance toward God? Repentance, wanting more of God. Repentance, wanting God to do something in my life. wanting my own freedom, wanting him to find the real me, wanting him to overcome my sins. I don't want to give up because I keep doing the same thing. That's the very thing I want to take to him and say, God, please come after this one. Please come after this one thing I can't seem to get victory. This is the one thing I'm bringing to you and saying, God, come after this. Why do I do it? Why do I say it? Come after this in me. Begging for repentance. Want it because it's your freedom. It's your joy. It's for you. It's a good thing. Repentance is a good thing. It's Amen. For you. It's all for you.
Amen.
No, it's not all for you. It's for him too. But that's still good. Jesus, I just pray. I ask that your Holy Spirit will come knocking on our hearts and speaking to our minds and just take each and every one of us into repentance in a deeper, more effective way to set us free so you can live in oneness with us. You're just aching to live in that oneness. And we say we want it. But we need to really want it to the point of inviting you to do it. Come after our issues. Expose our hearts. Grant us repentance. And let us endure the struggles until we win the victories in area by area. Thank you, Jesus.